Hello, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another podcast in the Marriage Doctor series. Today we're going to talk about dialogue. We're going to be looking at the dialogue process, and the first thing I want to say about it is that this podcast is really meant to support the learning of the dialogue process for people who have been seen face-to-face and have been coached and trained in that process. For people who have not been schooled in this at all and have not really attempted this or been shown how to do it, then certainly this podcast won't be enough to probably give you an idea. It's just meant to support the learning of someone who's already been through the process. So having said that, as a sort of a safety first, let's talk about the process itself. All I'm going to do today is actually go through the main points, which you will have already been schooled on, but sometimes difficult to remember if you've only been through it once. So let's go through the main points again of a basic dialogue. Now, again, let me stress, there are several forms of dialogue in the couple's work that we do. This podcast today is only going to talk about the basic dialogue, and that can be an appreciative type dialogue, or it can be a assuring type dialogue. So what do we do first? Well, we make an appointment. So again, I know I will have stressed this to you personally, but let me just say again that making the appointment and the formal aspects of this are quite important. So don't skimp them. Don't skip them because it might feel a bit weird or a bit strange to talk to your partner this way. Do make yourself go through the formal aspects. So the appointment is nothing more than sort of saying, I've got something important I need to say. Have you got time? And you're looking for that agreement. If they haven't got time at the moment, then certainly I would say to make the appointment and to keep it to that day if possible. Usually you can make time. As you can see from doing this, it doesn't take too long usually. So try and make that appointment same day. Now, once you've made the appointment, you've got the agreement that they will listen, then the most important thing then is to remain in that position. So one is the speaker, one is the listener. We don't swap positions in the middle. We don't start speaking from a listening position. We certainly don't allow this thing to deteriorate into a typical sort of argument or a row. We're there to listen to what someone has to say. And it's really important that we pick up on what they mean. As you see from the process itself, that's the whole point about the translation and the reflection. So we've got our appointment, we're together, we're facing each other, and we have decided, obviously, who's speaking and who's listening. So we make a start then by speaking to our partner, and the most important thing to remember then is to keep it in small chunks. Think about it literally being bite-sized. I'm upset today, or I'm feeling upset at the moment. That's certainly a big enough chunk, typically, for someone to take in. It might seem obvious as they reflect this kind of stuff back to you, but for you to make that point on its own is certainly enough. Now, the danger is if you start to go off on some kind of monologue, they won't pick it up. They'll simply drop it all out as you add new things, and they won't really hear what you have to say. So keep it in small chunks. When you have said what you need to say in that small chunk, the listener then reflects and translates. Now, we'll come to that in a second. I actually have one more thing to say about the small chunks. It's important that you stick to I comments. It's not an attack. Although, of course, it can include ideas like I feel that you or I feel that we're not doing very well or something like that. Basically, as long as it starts with the I position and you're owning it and understanding that it's your feeling. A comment here for the listener. By listening to this and by not interrupting or turning it into an argument, it doesn't mean that you agree. It doesn't mean that you approve of the message. It doesn't mean that it's never going to happen again. It doesn't mean that you've got to stop doing what they're asking you to do. All it means is that you've heard it and you really understand it. So once we've got our comment, I, etc., etc., then the listener reflects, stroke, translates. Now, it's really a personal thing whether you reflect or translate. I think start off with a reflection. Now, this is sometimes called mirroring. You simply say back the words that they've used and you say, so what you're saying is that you feel upset at the moment. And then you ask, is that right? Is that okay? Is that what you meant? Is that what you meant me to hear? And you get that agreement from them that says, yes, that's what I meant. That's correct. And then the listener asks, is there any more? Do you want to say any more? And off they go again. Now, again, a small chunk. Now, the difference between that and a translation is I find that for some couples, a translation works better. Sometimes when someone is mirroring a comment, I'm upset. So what I'm hearing you say is you're upset. Now, some people, that works because they feel that someone's really heard. But for other people, it can feel a bit irritating to just hear their words mirrored back to them. Sometimes it makes them feel like they've been heard more if they actually get a translation. Now, what that means is that the listener uses their own words to reflect back. So you might say, I'm feeling really upset today. And then the listener might say, so what I'm hearing you say is that today you're feeling angry, or they'll translate the word into their own word, and that'll give you, in a sense, another check to make sure they've actually heard what you want to say. So again, once we've had the reflection stroke translation, then we get the request. We check out that that's what they really meant, and then we get the request for more. Again, there could be 6, there could be 12 of these additions. Very important for the speaker to make sure that you've actually said everything that you need to say. So don't worry that you have to say it all in one go. You'll get every chance. They will ask you to continue until you've finished. So do it in small chunks and get to the finish of what you need to say. Now, when you've finished everything and you say, no, I think that's everything I need to say, then the listener then gives an overall reflection, which includes all the comments. Now, again, important to feel that they're really going to take this away with them, that they get all the comments in. If there's anything that they missed, then you say something polite like, no, you didn't get all of it, you missed out this part. Or, no, you didn't get all of it, let me say this again. And important that they get all of it. Now, the way to think about this as a listener, because it can be hard to hear some of this stuff, you're going to get some truth, and it's hard sometimes to sit there and listen to it. A couple of points, really important. Number one, you're actually getting nuggets of gold here. I know it's hard to think of it that way, but you see, best way to think of it is this. If you decide to please your partner, which, remember, that's our type of motto, is we're learning to be the perfect partner, not find the perfect partner. If you want to become a good partner for your partner, then what they're giving you is literally nuggets of gold. They're basically saying, if you decide to please me, if you decide to make me happy, if you decide to be the perfect partner for me, then here's how to do it. This is what I think we're missing. This is what I think you're not doing. This is what I think, where I think we are. So it's extremely valuable stuff. And once you start to realise that, then you'll get on much better. Second point, and again, very important, don't follow on. It doesn't matter how upset you are by this or how much you disagree. Remember, it's just the truth. It's how they feel. And it's important that you know that. If you immediately follow on and say, I've got something important to say now, and you try and set up another dialogue immediately after this one, it just becomes a kind of a long-range argument. It's like an argument by another name. And you really have to avoid that. Best to wait a day, let it sink in. Don't just go after one another. And remember, by the way, another point for the speaker. When you're having a turn at speaking and you've asked for your dialogue and you've got your turn, do take into account something very, very important. And it's this. They're going to get their go as well. If you use this as an opportunity to snipe or to be critical remember, you're going to have to sit there and listen to their stuff too. So the more polite, the more reasonable, the more direct, and the more you stick to your side of the story, the more probably they will respond in kind. So just take that on board as you think about doing this. Now, those are the main points of the dialogue. What would I say about it generally? Well, I would say, number one, it takes practice. You've got to get good at it. You can get to a point where it really is just part of your normal day. You can have times, standard times to do this if that works for you in busy lives. Although, of course, the moment when they ask for it is usually the important thing. So it does take practice. You will get better at it. You will learn to do different types of dialogue, but this is the most basic form. So thank you for listening to this. I hope you have learned something there, and certainly I hope that it's filled in any gaps where you may have forgotten a certain important part or something like that. But anyone who's going to reconnect with their partner as part of couples counselling needs to practice this dialogue process. So all the best with that. Until next time, bye for now.